Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Folks, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your patience this morning. What we were doing in that first session is actually videotaping the teaching time so that we can put it up online so that churches across the country and Canada, around the world, can access those materials. But thank you so much for being here this morning. Those of you who were here last night, I mentioned Psalm 78, 5 through 7. And that passage really means so much for me, that God has raised up a testimony in Jacob, set down the law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell the children so that they might set down their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. And the exciting thing about people like you is you know that the Word of God is not just for you. It's for you to allow the Spirit of God to change you so that then you can share with others and minister to others out of the Word so that a future generation is impacted. And that is what is so exciting about seeing people like you here this morning. I want to have a word of prayer together, and then we're going to talk. I'm going to show you kind of the promo video for the curriculum as we get started, and then we're going to talk through a number of dynamics as we get going. But let's pray, and then we'll show you the promo video. We're going to kind of just dash through a lot of questions about the initiative, and I think in terms of our time, don't we have a break at the end of this time? So we can lap over a little bit. I want to be sure to give you time. We have the next session, if I'm not mistaken, is at 11:15, the plenary, the big picture session. But I want to get you out plenty of time to make transitions and actually be able to catch your breath a bit. But let's pray together, and then we're going to take a look at the promo video. Father, thank you very much for these brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for their heart for the church and for their heart for your word. And I pray, oh God, that as we talk this morning, that you would be able to help us get a clear vision of what we're wanting to accomplish in the church strategy with Read the Bible for Life. Pray, Lord, that you would give us grace to live in your word in such a way that not only our lives will be changed, but also your kingdom will be advanced in the world. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a look. Hopefully, all of the technology is going to work okay here, so let's see how we go. Okay, hang on just a second. This is going to work. Just need a little more volume. Let's see where my volume is. All right, this is not supposed to work this way. Let me get out of here and turn up the volume just for a second. Whoa. Oh, have no idea what just happened. Okay, here we go. I really do know what I'm doing. Believe it or not. Okay.
One scholar has called the Bible America's favorite.
Do you want to hit the lights?
Struggle with understanding how the different parts of the Bible fit together to make one big story. I want to invite you to experience the Bible in a fresh way so that you understand it better and know how to live it. We're going to talk to numerous scholars, pastors, and other friends about how not just to read through the Bible, but to read it in a way that we get drawn into its story.
I think God has designed his people so that they are radically dependent on his word.
How do I read the Bible in a way that it seems relevant for my life today? Come join me as we discover how to read the Bible for life.
You know, here on this campus, as you have navigated the conference so far, you've probably been following maps, those of you who are not from here, and you're kind of going just step by step saying, okay, do I turn at this hallway? Have you had that experience when you're in a new place? I certainly have. And if I could take you to the top of the clock tower that I was talking about last night, and you could see the big picture layout of the campus, it would help a lot because you would be able to get the whole thing. Now, what happens at times when we are being drawn into a new ministry that God is calling us to is God pulls us out of that day-by-day focus on what we're doing. A lot of times in our churches, we do what I call feeding the monster. And whether you're teaching a small group or you're preaching or running all the programs in the church, it's easy to get caught up in a process where we're just trying to survive from week to week. Do you know that feeling? I mean, I know that feeling in my own church. And every now and then, we need the Spirit of God to draw us up to a higher place, if you will, and give us kind of a fresh vision for the big picture of where God is taking us. Now, when we do that, what that means is that we have to, at times, go against the flow of the culture, generally. You do realize that to live profoundly oriented to this ancient book called the Bible is going against the flow of the culture, generally, right? Everybody is with me there. But even in terms of our church cultures, at times it takes courage to say, why don't we try to do something in a little bit different way? In fact, I think that's why God is using David Platt in such a phenomenal way, because David, being confronted with the implications of the gospel, has said, what if we really took the details here seriously in terms of what God is calling us to do? I love the quote that you have there on your handout from Malcolm Muggeridge. Never forget that only dead fish swim with the stream. So it's very easy just to kind of go with the flow, and it's hard to shift gears and try to do something new and fresh, and yet that is what God wants us to do. Now, maybe some of you are like this guy, welcome, O weary searcher for truth. Say, have you ever worked with kids? You know, so you're seeking the Lord, you're getting drawn into an experience of the Bible, and all of a sudden someone comes and says, hey, would you like to be a teacher? You know, that kind of thing. But the fact is that God's word, again, is not just for us. It really is something that God wants to use us in the lives of other people. And my small group leader from my church is sitting right here on the front row. So I have to really behave today because he is here. So this is Dr. Patrick Andre is my good friend, and he is my small group leader. So you help me do this correctly. All right. Okay. And Ted Ward says that really what leadership is, it is a serving relationship that has the effect of facilitating human development. So what you're doing, if you are going to be involved in leading a small group, working with Read the Bible for Life, it really is a ministry of service where you are, in a sense, laying down your life for other people, trying to help them come along in the faith. We have a great model for that, Jesus. In Mark 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so if we are involved in this kind of ministry, it's a ministry where we're going to be sacrificing to love others as we wash their feet with God's word, if you will. Does that make sense? Okay, what we're going to do in this session is we're going to talk through a number of things about the Read the Bible for Life strategy, and we're just going to rifle through these questions and we'll see if you have questions at the end of the time. We're going to try to make it through a lot of stuff here. At the end of the time, we'll see how we're doing on questions. If I don't get to all of your questions, I'll be here the rest of the day, and feel free to pull me aside, and I'll be glad to answer other questions for you. But let's talk about the strategy, first of all, introduction to the Read the Bible for Life strategy. Okay, well, what is the Read the Bible for Life church strategy? What is this strategy? We'll talk in just a second about the tools available. Let me answer that first question first. In fact, let me go back here. Yeah. Well, the strategy is basically this. It's laid out in kind of two phases in a church. And I'll talk in a minute about the fact that there are a lot of different ways a church could go about this. But what a church needs, I think what many churches need, is they need a foundational training in how to read the Bible more effectively. Foundational training. As I mentioned last night, about 95% of churches have no training in how to read the Bible well. Now think about that. Again, we give people a Bible. We may give them a reading plan and we say, here, go read this for a year. And what happens when they get to Leviticus? I mean, the wheels come off the bus, right? You know, what we want to do is we want to have a foundational training where we start giving people some basic help in the questions that they would ask as they're engaging the stories of the Old Testament or the Psalms, as they're reading the teaching of Jesus. How do you read a parable really well so that you're hearing what God would want to say to you in the context of that parable? So what we want to do in the strategy is we want to have a foundational training in the church for people so that they can learn how to hear God speak to them in the Word. And then what we hope many churches do is have a year-long time of reading through the story of Scripture together, reading through the story of Scripture together as they are tracking with that story step by step. Hopefully, in many churches, with the pastor preaching through the highlights of the story in that year. Our church is doing that right now, and it is dynamic because what you have is you have people reading individually the daily reading plan. They're discussing that in small group, and then they're hearing that in their worship context with the pastor choosing an exemplary passage from the reading for that week, and they're being challenged in the context of that part of the story of Scripture. So it is very dynamic. I mean, you'll find people at a work day standing around talking about Job. Why? Because we're all in the church, you know, on the same page with where we're going and what we're doing. So I think that is profoundly important that we have this step-by-step approach. And I'll say more about that in just a minute as we talk about the different tools. But it gives people time to kind of have the pieces of the story click into place and to reinforce those principles of good reading. Does that make sense to everybody? So in terms of the strategy, big picture, that is really what we are trying to accomplish. Secondly, what are the ways a church can be involved in the church strategy? Now, we're not assuming that every church is going to do this the same way, because you may be in a church and your leaders of your church already have the next couple of years kind of planned out, and that kind of thing. So there are a lot of different ways that you could be involved. We hope that many churches will buy into the whole enchilada plate, you know, where they're doing the training and the read-through and even following that up with the new Sunday school curriculum that Lifeway is doing, which is going to be great. But it may be in your situation that what God calls you to do is to use the basic training in a Sunday school class or to use it in a Bible study, midweek Bible study, okay? It may be that you will start just with your family. There's a brother right now in Oklahoma. He actually is over all of Sunday school training in the state of Oklahoma for Southern Baptist, but he started with his family. He's having me come in this summer to do a training with his leaders in the state. But right now what he's doing is he's going through Read the Bible for Life with his family. And I think that is awesome because it lays a very authentic foundation for the things that are going on. So churches may be involved in the strategy in all different kinds of ways. All right, third, whom does this strategy target in the church? Anybody from teenagers on up can participate in the basic training. So if you have teenagers in your church, the materials are done at a level that can be engaging for those teenagers, and it's really designed to be a whole church kind of process. So if a person is a fairly new believer, they've never read through the Bible before, this is a great opportunity for them to say, hey, come on with us and we're going to read through the Bible together. It may be that you have people who have been believers for years. They've taught Sunday school for years, and what they will find is there will be principles in the training that will be brand new for them. I actually used the book with a group of pastors in kind of an advanced training kind of class, and they told me that they loved the book because there were principles that made them see things from a perspective that they had not thought about, you know, reading the Bible in exactly that way before. So there's something there for everybody. The tools are written on a very basic lay level. They're intentionally not textbook kind of oriented tools, and I'll say more about the difference between the various tools in just a minute. All right, four, who should lead the strategy in a church and how should they prepare? Anybody can lead the strategy. If you want to do this with a Sunday school class or a Bible study class or whatever, You can be a leader of Read the Bible for Life in your church, but let me encourage you that really this is going to be best if the leadership of the church is on board. So you really want to, as much as you can, make your pastor or your various leaders in the church aware of this. And what I would encourage you to do is, first of all, if you kind of go through the materials and you think, wow, our church really, really needs this, then first of all, pray. Pray. You do realize that this is a spiritual issue. This is a spiritual warfare issue. It is not natural. It is not natural for people to orient their lives to an ancient book and kind of turn away from all the cultural currents that they're experiencing in the world. That's not a natural phenomenon, all right? This is not going to be the wowie program of the moment in your church. But people are hungry. They're hungry for a real experience of God. C.S. Lewis at one point said, anything that is out of step with eternity is eternally out of date, right? So really what people are hungering for is a deeper experience of God and His Word. So it is more relevant than the things that people are seeing on television every day, right? But it is a spiritual dynamic. It's a spiritual dynamic. So pray. Go to your pastor if you're convinced that this is helpful and make an appeal to your pastor. Go and say, I just want to ask that you would take a look at this material, maybe give him a book, have him use one of the CDs and take a look at that. Again, every church here at the conference that's represented gets a free copy of the video curriculum. That's tremendously generous of Lifeway. We have a couple of wonderful Lifeway folks here. I should have introduced them. Tim Jordan is at B&H, and he's the guy who does all the publicity for the trade book, Read the Bible for Life. And then Amy Thompson, she really runs Lifeway, basically. I mean, she is the head of the initiative for Read the Bible for Life. So she is doing a phenomenal amount of work of pulling all this stuff off. So, in fact, would y'all just give them a hand for being involved? But go and just make an appeal to your pastor and say, would you just take a look at these things and prayerfully consider this for our church? And then the third thing that I would say is, if your pastor comes back and says, okay, this is great, but we really don't have a place for this at this point in our church, then just kind of go with that, submit to that, and trust the Lord that the Lord is going to do what He wants to do in your context as you're faithful. Does that make sense? So, don't kind of try to buck the system or anything. You do what God gives you the availability and opportunity to do in your context, but it's going to be best if the leadership is very, very much on board, and it can be profoundly dynamic if it's a whole church kind of experience, all right? So that is who might be involved. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the tools for the initiative. So what tools are available for the initiative? Well, first of all, let me make you aware that there is a website, www.readthebibleforlife.com. has a lot of free tools on it already. Down at the bottom of the page of the website, you'll see a little button here, Church Strategy. A lot of the information, and even more than what I'm able to share with you this morning, is available there on the website. And so you can go and have all kinds of questions and answers. In fact, this whole outline is developed from the stuff that is there on the website. But also on the website, there is a podcast. The podcast you can download for free from iTunes. You can listen to it right here on the website. For instance, my most recent series was a 3-part interview with Michael Card about how to read the Bible in times of sorrow and suffering. And we talked about lament in the Bible and how the church has lost the voice of lament, where we help people worship in the context of their suffering. And so we had a great time with that. You also have the blog that kind of keeps you up on what's going on with Read the Bible for Life. Union's nickel, Union is developing the Union Audio Bible Project. And what we're doing is we're recording the whole year of the chronological reading plan all the way through the Bible. We're recording that whole year so that beginning at the end of next fall, as we move into 2012, individuals will be able to download those daily readings of the Bible and listen to them You can do that through an iPhone app or an iPad app for a very small fee. Or I think we're going to put them up online for free for the first year so that people in your church can do that. So, for instance, if you have a doctor in your church who goes to work at like, you know, 6 in the morning or whatever, and there's a 20-minute commute, you know, to work, then that person can download and listen to the reading for the day on their way to work. So lots of great tools that will be available there for that. So the website is there. You can find a lot of good information on the website. And we're going to be putting more stuff online as we go along. In fact, the session we just videotaped over in the studio will go up online as a training tool. For those of you who are pastors, eventually we're going to have suggested sermon series through the year for you to access. We're working with Lifeway Worship. They're going to have suggested worship services through the year. Mike Harlan's done a great job in interacting with us on that. So we're going to have a good time giving you as many tools as we can as we go along that will help you with the initiative in your church. Now, the Leaders Kit has a number of things in it. Again, every church represented gets one Leaders Kit. And in that Leaders Kit, you have the Read the Bible for Life book, which you were given last night at the banquet. If you happen to not be here at the banquet last night and you are a registrant at the conference, you get a free copy of the book thanks to Tim Jordan, so you might thank him for that. You get a member book for the video curriculum that people can fill in the blanks as they go through, and there are 5 daily exercises for each week of the 9 weeks of the video study. And then you get the DVDs that have those 9 sessions in DVD format on them, and then a CD that has a lot of other information on it that will help you as a small group leader. Background to the Bible kind of information. What they did is they took a lot of resources that they own at Lifeway and Broadman and Holman and just loaded that CD up with a lot of good stuff. So there is good material there. Lifeway is also going to make available what are called zip packs. So let's say your church decided to do Read the Bible for Life and you have a large church and you want to do this with a lot of small groups and have the small groups actually watch the videos. You can buy the DVDs themselves, just the DVDs, not the whole kit, for a reduced price. And I'm kind of dialoguing with Lifeway about what we're going to charge for those what they're called as zip packs, but you'll be able to do those as well. And also, if you have people in your small group who miss a session, they can download the videos individually for about $4.95 in a low-res format. To put on their iPad or whatever to kind of catch up for that week. Does that make sense? So that's going to be on your sheet too. So that's the Leader's Kit. Now, what role is played by the book? I'm going to go to my notes here. I've actually been teaching, so I left my notes over in the studio. So my notes have just come in the room. So if you don't mind, I'm going to scan ahead to my notes here, and give me just 1 second to do that. See where we are. Okay, so what role is played by Read the Bible for Life? The other thing that just came in the door is I have a sign-up sheet. If you don't mind, I know this is messy, you know, the way I'm doing this session. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to pass this around. If you give your name, the name of your church, whether or not you're going to do the strategy in your church, your phone number and your email address, just so Lifeway can keep in touch with you, make sure that you're informed about what's going on, then that would be great. All right, let's talk about what role the book plays in the strategy. Again, the book is narrative interview style. What I did in writing the book, Read the Bible for Life, is I traveled around the country and I did digital interviews of top evangelical scholars who are specialists on different parts of the Bible, and sat down with them and said, okay, how do we read the stories of the Old Testament? How do we read the Psalms? Daryl Bach and I sat down and talked about how do we read the stories of the New Testament? Craig Blomberg and I sat down and talked about how do we read the teachings of Jesus? So I went around with these guys, almost all of them are good friends of mine, and we talked about how to read these different parts of Scripture. I also talked to people like Michael Card. David Platt was one of the pastors that I talked to. I sat down with my wife and we talked about how to read the Bible with the family, you know, because my wife is awesome. And she has had such an impact on our family in terms of incorporating how we engage the Bible in the family. So the book is set up on a narrative interview style. It can be used in different ways. Individuals in your church can just pick it up and read it, right? But also, you could read the book in preparation for doing the video curriculum. You could do that. You could watch the video curriculum as a group and then encourage people to get the book to just reinforce the principles that they learned in the video curriculum over a period of time as they casually read the book chapter by chapter. The video curriculum itself is in 30-minute segments. So what we did is we took the main principles from the book and narrowed those down to these brief video sessions. So you get a lot more in the book than you have in the video curriculum. There's a lot there in the video curriculum for people to take in. But for instance, in one session, we deal with how to read the epistles of the New Testament and Revelation in one session. So, you know, in Revelation, about all you have time for is God wins. I mean, that's, you know, the basic story of Revelation. No, not really. We talk about we need to read Revelation in terms of the symbols that are used there. You've got to be oriented to the Old Testament and hear those allusions to the Old Testament if you're reading the book of Revelation, because Revelation is chock full of the Old Testament. So we're able to do a lot there in those sessions, but you get more in the book. So you'll have to think through what would be the best way to use it in your situation. I would encourage everybody, since you've been given a copy of the book, begin by reading the book and settling in to the book and seeing what is there and allow God to draw you into that fresh reading experience of the Bible. So the book can be used in various ways, individually or as a church. All right, what is the difference between the book and the small group study? I explained to you a little bit about that. What I want to do is I want to talk, I'm a little bit behind on my thing here. Let me give you a sample of the of one of the video sessions so you can just get a taste of it and see what I'm talking about, and I'll tell you a little bit more about how we do the video session. So let me give you a little bit of a sample here. Hopefully this is going to turn on here. Here we go.
I want you to think about a simple text with me just for a moment, S-T-O-P. Now, there are people in my neighborhood who seem to think this means slow temporarily or proceed. But most people know what they're supposed to do when they come to this sign. But what if I'm driving my Jeep through the woods and I come to this sign? What do? Do I stop? No, because this is a completely different context. Now, in this session today, we're going to talk about how context affects our understanding of the Bible. To read the Bible well, we've got to tune in to the context. Way that context affects our reading of the Bible. And I think we're going to really have a good time with this. But I want to give one more illustration of what we're talking about before we actually get into the session. And that is our context right here. Now, we have our small group going, but this is not a normal small group kind of situation. And what I wanted to ask is that we would take one of the cameras and just kind of scan the room so that people can see that we are in a very different kind of context in our special little intimate small group. Our context here is affecting the way that I'm teaching. It's affecting the way that you are listening and participating. And what I'm excited about in this session, we want to talk about various types of context that really affect the way that we read the Bible. And when we tune into those contexts, we can learn to read the Bible more effectively. Let me give you a definition of context. Context refers to the circumstances that form the setting for a passage of Scripture by which that passage of Scripture can be rightly understood.
Okay, now what we do in that session is then I'll go on and I talk about historical context, cultural context, literary context, and theological context. Just real briefly, one example. When we're talking about historical context, we look at Luke 23. You remember that passage where Jesus is on his way to the cross and he comes to a place where the women in Jerusalem are weeping, and Jesus has that moment where he kind of stumbles and he says to the women who are there mourning along the road, "Don't weep for me, weep for yourselves and for your children. Because there's coming a day that you're not going to believe." You remember that passage? Well, a lot of times with a passage of Scripture like that, we just read right over it, right? If we settle in, though, to kind of what was Jesus talking about? What happened historically in relation to that prophecy that Jesus gave? The destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Yeah, and when you go and you actually study what happened there, Josephus tells us exactly what happened. When Titus came and laid siege to the city of Jerusalem, Jerusalem was kind of a honeycomb, so that you had a wall and then you had a couple of other walls outside of that wall that in the city. The two outer walls had been breached at one point, and so the Jewish freedom fighters were trapped inside the city. They were starving to death, and hundreds of them would try to escape the city almost every day. And what Josephus tells us happened at that point was people were fighting over any scrap of food that came about. People were reduced to cannibalism. Josephus talks about the fact that when they would try to escape the city and were captured by the Romans, if they were women, the Romans cut off their hands and sent them back into the city. If they were men, they were crucified. So the Jewish freedom fighters who were looking out from the inside of the city, all along those two walls outside that inner wall, the freedom fighters who were their friends and colleagues were nailed up, crucified all along those walls in grotesque positions. And then the hills surrounding Jerusalem, all the trees had been cut down, and the hills surrounding Jerusalem were filled with crosses. And the Romans ran out of crosses. They were crucifying thousands of people. They ran out of crosses so that they started crucifying people on top of other people. Now, does that change the basic meaning of Jesus' words in the text? It doesn't change the meaning. But what it does is it fills out the impact of that broader historical context of the way that that prophecy of Jesus played out. And it gives a powerful punch, especially for those believers in the latter part of the first century who would have read the gospel, and they saw that, wow, this was the ultimate implication of the leaders of Jerusalem not recognizing Messiah coming. That's the way Jesus interpreted it. And there's some other really amazing things in that passage that start opening up that passage in terms of the cultural backdrop and theological backdrop. I wish we had time to go into it. But that's what we'll do in the sessions. We'll take examples from the Scripture and kind of say, wow, look, if we just look at the Scripture from this angle, look how it opens up a depth there that we really need to tune into, that the original readers, many of them would have understood, but we have to do a little bit of thinking, a little bit of studying to tune in to that. All right? Now let's talk a little bit about this a little bit further. So if you're wanting to do this in your church, then as you're thinking about doing this, how would you promote it? All right, number 5 there in that section. I think that's where we are. Promoting the small group study. You might do it in all kinds of ways with the program in your church. There are churches already who are using Facebook groups to do this. They're being very creative in setting up a blog to kind of walk their members through this, where people can give comments on what they're reading every day. So be very creative. Use your website if you have a website. You might want to use an email listserv to kind of keep in touch with those members of your small group. The exciting thing about this to me is our church did the curriculum back in the fall, and the pastor told me, he said, you know, we had more people involved in small group at this point in our church than we've ever had in anything that we've done before. And we had people like, there's one lady named Nelda. Nelda had been in our church since about 1999. And Nelda had never gotten incorporated into a small group before. She hadn't really joined the church. And yet she was there, you know, she was coming every week. But when this came up, she thought, you know, I've never read through the Bible before and I really need to do that. And so for the first time, Nelda got drawn into small group experience. She ended up making a public profession of faith and being baptized because she had never had made that public profession before and been baptized. And she went out and bought a big study Bible, and she's going to be going to Eastern Europe on a mission trip this summer. So her life has been transformed by the experience of being drawn into a deeper experience of God's Word. All right. How much time is needed in the video sessions for each week? Let's talk about that just for a minute. Each video session is approximately 30 minutes in length. And the way that this is set up is basically this. Each week when everybody comes together, and we hope many churches will do this as a whole church, right, to get everybody that basic training in how to read the Bible. So our church took Sunday nights for 9 weeks and did the whole church training on Sunday nights. You could do it on Wednesday nights. You could do it in Sunday school time on Sunday mornings. But this is how it works. You come together. Let's say you watch the video the previous week. People have done the exercises. There are 5 days of exercises for that week. And then you come back together. The first thing you do when you come back together is you go through the small group discussion time. Because what you're doing is you're discussing what people have studied in those daily exercises, right? So you come back and you have a small group discussion time first, and then you watch the next 30-minute video, which gives people a foundation for doing the exercises of the next week, and then they'll come back and discuss what they studied in the exercises again. Does that make sense? So you're coming together, having discussion, then you're watching the video. If you're real brave, at the end of the video each week, you can ask for questions, you know, and people will ask you questions, hard questions about Leviticus. My children, just be comforted by this. My children ask me hard questions about the Bible, and my standard answer, because I have a PhD in New Testament, is, why don't you talk to your mother about that? You know, that's a good question. No, there are questions that my children ask me that drive me back to a deeper study of the Word, because I don't always know the answer, right? So don't be afraid of people asking you questions. It's a good answer to say, hey, that's a great question. Let me go think about that and study it and see what I can find out. And the awesome thing is the Bible is such that we can just keep going deeper and deeper in the Word. So that's the normal format of the way that the videos work. But let me say this. What our church did is we actually gave an hour and a half to those times on Sunday nights because it's tough. You know how it is with our churches. People kind of drag in and they're not there right on time. So by the time we get settled into our small group discussion and people are excited about what they've studied that week, they want to talk about it. So it was hard for us to get that in a half an hour, wasn't it, Patrick? So people want to talk. So what we did is we would start the discussion, you know, when people got there, and we would give about 45 minutes for the small group time, have about a 5-minute transition, and then come together and all watch the video together for a half an hour. And then I did field questions at the end of those for about 3 to 5 minutes. So that's basically the way that we did the small group time as we worked our way through it. All right. Now, can the small group study be done other than in a weekly format? That's number 7. Yes, they can. You could do the study every other week. That would give people more time to do the exercises. The thing that you lose if you do an every other week format is that rhythm of weekly being in the Word and meeting together. But it's still, that's a viable option. You could do the study over a couple of weekends, like, you know, weekend retreat kinds of formats. But let me tell you that the challenge of that is we're not just after the experience of the moment, right? We're after people building skill. skill in reading. And that takes time for people to assimilate. That's not something that you build over a short period of time. When I teach Intro to Bible Study class here at Union, when I teach it at the master's level, I have 8 weeks to do it. When I teach it to my freshmen and sophomores at the undergraduate level, I have 15 weeks. Would you believe that my freshmen and sophomores at the college level are better at Bible study after 15 weeks than my master's level students are after 8 weeks? You know why? Because they've had a lot of time to assimilate the skills for us to work through it together. So giving that long period of time is really important. That is why moving from the foundational study to reading through the scripture together as a church, where we're reinforcing those principles, reinforcing the story of scripture, it's just huge. I can't tell you how important that is. When we were going through the 9-week study, we kept saying to our folks, hey, if you're not getting all of this, because there's a lot there, don't worry about it, because we're going to be reinforcing this over the next year. So that's another thing to think about as a reason to do it that way. Now, are the exercises in the workbook designed for beginners? Are they designed for beginners? One of our biggest challenges in doing the workbook was, where do we pitch the exercises? Because you're going to have people in your small group who've never read the Bible much before, and then you're going to have other people who have been in Bible study fellowship, and they've done all the Beth Moore studies, and they've been, you know, doing Bible teaching for years. And, you know, so you're going to have people with a lot of different Bible level experience kind of stuff. So what we did is we went ahead and put enough there in the daily exercises that they would be challenging for a person who's been in Bible study for years. But there's always something there, every exercise, that even a beginner can tap into. But it's really, really important that you build an atmosphere of encouragement for those people who are beginners and say to them, you do what you can do, and then come and learn from the group. So don't be stressed out if there's stuff here that you struggle with getting, you know, all of it done. You just do what you can do and learn, and especially come and learn in the context of the group, and that's going to be great. We had one gal. Yes, yes, Mickey.
I was just wondering on the, you recommended for teens and above as far as the curriculum.
Yeah.
What about your Sunday night sessions? Do you involve the whole family, or how are you doing that?
Yeah, normally teens on up are involved in that. And, you know, some churches, the teens may have a different emphasis just for the, you know, youth group or whatever. But then providing childcare or whatever for the kids back in the back is really the way that you probably want to go with that.
Okay.
Yep. Let me tell you about one gal in our group. After the first week, we came together and we were going through the discussion time, and Jill, at the end of time, I could tell she was kind of closed up during the discussion. Jill's not normally closed up during discussion, is she? And we got to the end of the discussion time, and Jill said, hey guys, let me just be honest with you about something. I don't read. She said, I've had one book that I've read in my life. And so it was really, really hard for me to settle into these exercises and do these exercises and track. She has two small kids. And I said to her, I said, look, Jill, you open up to the Lord, and you say, Lord, just teach me. And you give God a little bit of time, and you do what you can, and then come and learn from the group. Well, about 2 to 3 weeks later, Jill came back. She had done all the exercises. It was one of those kind of things where, you know, the leader would ask a question. Jill was like, you know, yeah, let me answer that question. And I went to her after that time. I said, what happened? I said, obviously, you've gotten drawn into this. And she said, here's what happened. She said, I found that when I gave God 10 minutes, then I wanted 15 minutes. And then I wanted 20 minutes. And then 30 minutes wasn't enough. Why? Because she got drawn into a fresh experience of God's Word. And when you start meeting the living God face to face in the pages of the Bible, motivation is not a problem. Now, it's discipline for all of us. And there are days that I get up and, you know, have to make the choice, but you start longing for it just like you're longing for breakfast, right? So encourage people, give them that generous encouragement. Can individuals have access to the video sessions? Yes, I already mentioned that on lifeway.com you can get those. Are there discounts if we buy the resources in bulk? Yes, for the trade book. If they buy a case, Tim, I think this is right, if they buy a whole case, you get a discount on the trade book. The other materials, you don't get a trade or discount on because they're kind of, you know, cut rate prices as it is. Now, real briefly, let me wrap up. Let's talk for a minute about how to do the read-through, preach-through in the church, and we're going to kind of hold it there, and you can access the other questions online. The read-through, preach-through is what David Platt's church did at Brook Hills last year, where the whole church was using the reader's guide, and they were tracking through the Bible reading plan that we designed with the reader's guide while David preached a key passage every week. And you know, it really helps if you have David Platt preaching every week. But let me tell you some of the tools that are available for this and answer a couple of questions, and then we'll wrap up by giving you a chance to ask some questions. The two tools that are coming out this coming October, in October, we're going to have two tools coming out. One is a chronological Bible called Reading God's Story. And the chronological Bible is laid out according to the main three acts of Scripture and then sub-scenes under those acts. So Act 1 is God's plan for all people. Act 2 is God's covenant people, the rest of the Old Testament. And then Act 3 is God's new covenant people. That's the New Testament. And then under each one of those acts, you have scenes, creation, fall, etc. So it's laid out so that anywhere you are in the chronological Bible, you know where you are in the story. Okay? Now, that is HCSB. I want to recommend the HCSB translation to you. I can do this very genuinely. B&H has not asked me to do this. I was one of the consultants on that, but I've also been a consultant on the ESV and a couple of other translations. It is a really, really good translation. I think it needs to be considered by more people. So that's a good translation. Now, if your church is already really oriented to another translation, the Reader's Guide to the Bible is the other tool. And the Reader's Guide to the Bible is a Bible reading plan where each day of that Bible reading plan, both the chronological Bible and Reader's Guide are laid out for 6 days a week so that you have a day to catch up if you need that. But the Reader's Guide is such that you know what you're supposed to read for that day, and then I give you a paragraph where I kind of coach you in how to read the portion for that day. I reinforce the principles from Read the Bible for Life. I say, now here, remember, this is where we are in the story. Today we're in Act 2, Scene 3. And so I keep everybody very oriented to that. And just kind of give reinforcement and help so that if we hit a real difficult passage, I may take two or three sentences and say, consider this or look in a study Bible for this. So it's coaching day at a time. Let me tell you a cool thing. What I did is I wrote the Reader's Guide to the Bible just staying a couple of months ahead of David Platt's church. That's what I did in my time with the Lord every morning. I would do the reading, my Bible reading, then I would write up the paragraph. I'm going through the Reader's Guide this year with my family, and I'm learning things. I'm seeing things in the Bible reading I've never seen before, things that I didn't see the first time around. Isn't that an awesome thing about God's Word is that it's so rich. You know, you see new stuff there that you've never seen before. So that's the Reader's Guide. That's another tool that you can use with reading through the Bible as a church. And both of those tools are coming out in October 2011. Now, how can a pastor preach through the Bible in a year? He can't. But what he can do is he can hit the highlights of the story of Scripture. So, for example, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we read Judges in that week, and I preached that Sunday on Gideon. The reason I chose Gideon is kind of a hinge character in the story of Judges. It's really a cool story, but you know, it's really a tragic story. We think of Gideon as kind of this great hero and all that kind of stuff. Gideon is a tragic story. He's a great example of a time when every man was doing what is right in his own eyes. And a lot of Gideon's stuff that he does is an example of how not to relate to God in faith. But it was an encouraging message when we look at the bigger picture of what God ultimately is pointing toward. So what I did is I used Gideon as example of the whole story of Judges. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm not trying to preach the whole book of Judges, but I'm choosing one passage so that when people have read through the whole story of Judges, and small groups have had a discussion of what they've read that week, then we come together for a worship experience where we go, wow, isn't this awesome, big picture of what God is doing. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's what a pastor can do. He can kind of hit the highlights. Do we have to start our read through the Bible on January 1st? No. We intentionally did not make the tools in Read the Bible for Life date specific. So we don't do January 1, January 2. What we do is week 1, day 1, week 2, day 1, 2, and 3. You could start the read through the Bible at Easter. You could start at the beginning of the school year. What we think a lot of churches will do, which made sense with our church and has worked very well, is we started about the first week in September with the 9-week study so that we, the thing I would suggest is that you do it where you finish the weekend before Thanksgiving. Because if you try to finish on the weekend right before Thanksgiving, you're going to have a bunch of people who are gone. So, you know, if you start about the beginning of September, you can wrap up by Thanksgiving, have a transition time with Christmas, and then the whole church start the read through on January 1st in going through that year. All right? So you don't have to start on January 1st. And then finally, how can I encourage people who don't have time to read the Bible daily? Again, organize prayer team. Just give lots of encouragement. Someone asked in the last session, what do you do if somebody comes into the church in the middle of the year? Well, what you do is you say, hey, we're in the middle of this. Just join us where we are. Just pick up with us. Because if your church is doing this with a long-term vision, they're going to have lots of opportunities to cycle through the story of Scripture as we go on through the years. So don't say to people, okay, man, you've got 6 months to catch up here. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to just encourage and say, hey, jump in with us where we are, because our church has a long-term vision for what we're trying to accomplish here. Okay? Does that make sense? All right, let's have a time. I'm sorry. I know I came in kind of harried because of the studio thing this morning. But let's see if you have some questions. And we'll take 5 minutes or so for questions, and then you'll still be out in time to have a good break. So let me entertain some questions from you. Yes, sir.
Would you recommend this with your 9-week study as a whole group thing, or break it up into?
I think churches will do it in different ways. I think I think it was very dynamic for our church for everybody to meet together and watch the video together as a church. That was very, very dynamic. It's also very cost effective because you just have one set of DVDs where you have to buy all the zip packs, which is a good thing. You know, there's a church I'm going to in 2012 in Canada, in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Their church is so oriented to small group stuff that what they're going to do is they're actually going to have me come and do a training, kind of have a launch weekend for their church. And then they're going to actually watch the videos every week in small group sessions all over their city. So that's the way they're going to do it. And that's a great way to do it, too, because you've got that intimacy of a small group. You have the dynamic of the whole church meeting together, which is very dynamic, and then breaking down into small groups. So I think, you know, God has put you where you are for a purpose. And you can discern as God leads you how to live this out in your church context. But either one of those approaches would be valid. Okay? All right, other questions? Yeah, Mickey?
You mentioned doing it with your family. What are the ages of your children, and how do you work that through on a family basis?
Yeah. You know, the way our family has developed is not kind of the model. I don't know that there's one model. What we have done, when our kids were very small, we did quiet times with our kids where we were reading the Bible on a daily basis with our kids. But we got to a point where we said, okay, you're going to start reading the Bible for yourself. My kids now are 18 and 15. And so they have their time with the Lord in the morning. My wife and I have our time with the Lord. And, you know, I sit in my chair and she sits in hers and we drink tea. And that's what we do. And what has happened and developed in our family is it's just natural for us just spontaneously to talk about what we're reading, to ask questions. So we don't, at this stage in our family, we don't have a formal time where we get together. We do talk about things a lot of times, the sermon on Sunday at lunch after Sunday morning worship. So that happens pretty consistently. And we have a thing called Sabbath tea on Sunday evenings where we also talk about what God's doing. But a lot of it's just spontaneous where my daughter would say, all right, Dad, let's talk about Jephthah. You know, this is weird where Jephthah, you know, he made this vow and his daughter comes out and she ends up getting sacrificed and all that kind of stuff. So what's up with that? You know, and so we talk about the fact Jephthah is a great example of someone who is doing things the wrong way. You know what was happening with Jephthah? There was actually a law that said he could have made a sacrifice to get out of his vow to God. But Jephthah, he's an illustration person. He doesn't know the law enough to know that there's another option. Because people during the time of the judges aren't oriented to the law. And so, you know, it gives us a chance to talk about that kind of stuff. So for us, it's just spontaneous. There are family devotional guides that David Platt's church developed during that year read through, which we're eventually going to have online, that families can download. So if they're in week 12 of the reading, they'll be able to download a guide to use with their family. And I think it's oriented to different ages. So if you have small children, here's some stuff to talk to them about. And that kind of stuff is going to be online for free to download as well. Does that make sense? Sure.
The Sunday school curriculum that Lifeway is doing, is it going to be oriented in the same way where families go through this?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I can answer that question. Trevin Wax is the guy who's heading that up at Lifeway. He's new at Lifeway. The cool thing is Trevin asked me to come and meet with their team because what they want to do is they want to have a partnership. Now, we're not, we're not married in this relationship, but we are close friends and working together so that what their Sunday school curriculum is going to do is it's going to reinforce the framework of the story of Scripture that we've laid out. So they're going to use the same tracking of the story of Scripture. They're going to reinforce the principles from Read the Bible for Life in their Sunday school curriculum. So if a church gets ready to use their curriculum, they're going to say, consider doing Read the Bible for Life as foundational training before you go into this. And what we're saying to people is it's going to be real natural if you do the foundational training in church and then do the year read-through, then to go right into this three-year cycle of curriculum they're using, which is going to reinforce. I'm not really sure yet. I think that there are some things developing in conversation where there will be some kind of graded approach with different age groups, but I'm not sure about that, so don't hold me to that. Yep. Ooh, let's see. I think at the end of 2012 is when it's coming out. Does that sound right, Amy? Fall of 2012. Okay. Yeah. That was your question as well. Yeah, so it's so exciting because that curriculum is going to be very theologically oriented, very oriented to the story of Scripture. It's going to be real fresh, I think, and something that's going to be very helpful. All right. Any other questions? Okay, you folks, yes.
The reading God's story chronological Bible.
Yes.
Does it have commentary at all?
Yeah, that's a good question. It does have an introduction at the beginning of every act and every scene, and it has kind of a devotional thought pulling things together at the end of every week of readings. So it doesn't have a lot of commentary like in it doesn't have footnotes. But what it does is when you're getting ready to start, like Act 2, Scene 5, it gives a very clear, very nice overview of that part of the story. Okay?
It's a more general, it sounds like similar, but more general and less frequent than what you would get out of the Reader's Guide to the Bible, which is going to be a daily.
Well, the chronological Bible is daily.
So, in terms of the background information.
Yeah. Daily. You're going to get daily information on what you're reading. It's not daily, but it does give you the text. So if you have the Reader's Guide and not the Chronological Bible, you'll use your Bible and kind of flip around. What we hope a lot of people will do, obviously, is use both the Reader's Guide and the Chronological Bible together because you can do your reading and it's all laid out right there. So if you have several Psalms, that are all read on a day, they're all right there in order. So you could use that. It's organized chronologically, yeah. So then you could kind of use the two together, get commentary from the Reader's Guide, then do your reading in the Chronological Bible. Okay.
Will the Chronological Bible be the entire Bible, like where you have the Gospels repeat?
It'll be the entire Bible, yes. All the text of the Bible will be there. All the text. There's not anything that will be left out. It'll all be there. And the wonderful thing about that is repetition is a great teacher. And so reading and seeing all those together, you see some really cool things when you look at the parallels of the different passages in the Gospels, for instance. Shows you emphases that the different Gospel writers had for, that kind of thing. All right, anything else? Yes, ma'am.
The audio that unions can question.
Yes.
Is it the story, or is it the Holman?
Yeah, the audio is the HCSB, the Holman Christian Standard version. And by the way, Michael Card is doing all of the musical intros and outgoes to those things for us. So it's the HCSB translation is what it will be. Yep. It's going to be on the website. We think what we're going to do is the first year, we're going to put that up for free, kind of like a podcast release kind of thing. But you will also be able to buy it in an iPad app, an iPhone app, that you'll download. And so every day when you go to work, you just click the button and you get the reading for that day. And that's going to be very affordable. So,
and that will be available?
That's going to be available by the end of next fall. Yeah, we're doing the recordings, and the cool thing is it's a community deal, so that we're having students read, faculty read, staff read. It's a community, so it's not like, you're not going to have a British actor going and reading the role, you know, it's not going to be that kind of thing. It's going to be just normal people, like you're sitting around with a friend reading the Bible. It'll be well done, but it's going to be just normal people in community reading together. All right? Anybody else have a question? Let me pray for you. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of your time this morning. Bless you as you continue with the conference. And if you have any other questions, feel free to talk to me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these dear people. Lord, bless them. Advance your kingdom through them in the way that you want to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.